So let us be still as we prepare to worship God. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. Last Sunday we lit the first Advent candle, the candle of hope. Today we light the second candle, the candle of peace. We light it knowing full well that peace is elusive, and in some parts of the world it is almost completely absent. Yet in this season of Advent, we trust that God is never absent from us. God is always preparing something new. And even where there is war and discord, whether between countries, within families, or even within our own hearts, God is present, gently leading us to new possibilities. So we say together, loving God, in this time of preparation and planning, we thank you for the hope and peace you unfailingly offer us. Show us the creative power of hope. Teach us the peace that comes from justice. Prepare our hearts to be transformed by you, that we may walk in the light of Christ. So because this year we're not going to be able to sing as many carols together as we would usually do, we're getting cracking on with the carols a bit earlier than normal. So we're going to sing. I know it's the 6th of December. Purists, take me in a corner later and beat me. We're going to sing "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear."
It came upon the midnight clear, we joined to sing.
Thank you.
Could I ask you all to check whether you're muted or not, please? Because the danger is if you're not muted, that if somebody's watching on speaker view and you make a noise, the camera moves to you. So if you could get yourself muted, that would be very helpful. And we can't do anything about that. You mute or unmute yourself from your device. So while some people are still doing that, let's join together to pray. Let's pray. Urban and rural God, be with us in our world's wilderness as we long for meaning and value, as we search for you without always knowing how, as we cry out for wholeness and healing. Be with us, urban and rural God, in our heart's wilderness, as we strive to hear your word, brought to us by prophets and outsiders calling us to change. Urban and rural God, forgive us when we prefer the wilderness and isolation to the presence of your people. When we prefer to go our own way rather than the new direction to which you call us. Urban and rural God, help us to accept your forgiveness, to be willing to change direction, and in you to see our new beginning, living the good news of the gospel. And we pray together and offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, Sally, would you like to speak to us? Well, sadly, I think Sally's having some technical issues. That is one of the challenges of the season, that we need to do something about the broadband in the church. That's what you bring in your offerings for. That's got to be sorted. Another way to spend money. Marvellous. That's what we all need. So anyway, those of you who are doing readings, this is me giving you your 2 second warning. Oh, hello. Hello. Hi, you're back. I'll shut up now.
Sorry, really sorry about this. Can you hear me? Yeah. Do you want me to do the talk still? I can't see. I can't see anyone on my phone either. So this is fun. But I will go ahead with the talk. Okay. So it's Can you see me? I can only see Leslie. Can you see? You can. Okay. Right. It's common practice for a team of aides to go ahead of a VIP before a visit to a foreign country, just to prepare for the visit and tie up loose ends, ensure everything goes well. Did you know, for example, that the Queen always gets a brand new, never used before, specially designated loo? just for the royal bottom. It's true. And apparently that's one of the things that foreign dignitaries worry the most about before she arrives. That and the colour of the towels and whether the loo roll is okay quality. But apparently she takes her own loo roll as well. So there we are. That's your factoid for the morning. And I wish I could see all your faces at this point, because I'd love to see you laughing and having a smile. But there we are. The Isaiah passage for today reflects the practice of rulers sending heralds ahead to make sure that everything is prepared for their royal progress, just as heads of state today send advanced teams. And in Russia, there's a rather bizarre story about a man called Grigory Potemkin, who went ahead of Catherine of Great, the Empress of Russia, on her journey to Crimea in 1787. And what he did is he erected fake portable villages to deceive her into thinking that things were more prosperous than they really were. And the term Potemkin village is sometimes still used in politics and economics for a deception aimed at making things seem better than they are. I suspect it's used quite a lot these days by governments, to be honest. And in Eastern Europe, to Potemkin means tidying things away ahead of the arrival of visitors, something I have to do really rapidly if ever I know that visitors are coming round. Things get shoved in the cupboards and all over the place. In the New Testament story for today, we've got John the Baptist going ahead of Jesus to prepare the way. And he asks people to repent of their sin and get ready for the coming of Jesus. And I want to finish with just being honest for a moment. The question I want to challenge us all with today is, do we ever Potemkin in our lives rather than truly repenting and preparing the way for the Lord? Perhaps that's something we can contemplate as we journey through Advent towards his arrival at Christmas. Amen.
Yeah, Ray says, can you please spell it? Put it on the chat. Potemkin. Put the Potemkin in the chat. We're very happy that you got here, Sally. Thank you. The two readings, the first from the prophet Isaiah, as you now know, which Christine Wise will read to us, in contrast with last week's reading from Isaiah that spoke of the hiddenness of God, this reading is a word of comfort. And then the second reading, which Jenny Milner will read to us, is Mark chapter 1. The gospel passage opens with a very bold and assertive statement, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yet we hear nothing of Jesus until verse 15. Instead, we get the story of an eccentric man who was found in the wilderness. And we're being introduced to the reality of the beginning of good news is almost always a messenger. So once again, could I ask you to check whether you are muted or not? And then I invite Christine to unmute and speak to us.
The first reading is from Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort my people, says our God, comfort them. Encourage the people of Jerusalem. Tell them they have suffered long enough and their sins are now forgiven. I have punished them in full for all their sins. A voice cries out, prepare in the wilderness a road for the Lord. Clear the way in the desert for our God. Fill every valley, level every mountain. The hills will become a plain, and the rough country will be made smooth. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it. The Lord himself has promised this. A voice cries out, proclaim a message. What message shall I proclaim? I ask. Proclaim that all human beings are like grass. They last no longer than wildflowers. Grass withers and flowers fade when the Lord sends the wind blowing over them. People are no more enduring than grass. Yes, grass withers and flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Jerusalem, go up on a high mountain and proclaim the good news. Call out with a loud voice, Zion. Announce the good news. Speak out and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah that their God is coming. The sovereign Lord is coming to rule with power, bringing with him the people he has rescued. He will take care of his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs together and carry them in his arms. He will gently lead their mothers. Amen.
The second reading is Mark 1, verse 1 to 8. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began as the prophet Isaiah had written. God said, I will send my messenger ahead of you to open the way for you. Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready for the Lord, make a straight path for him to travel. So John appeared in the desert, baptizing and preaching. Turn away from your sins and be baptized, he told the people, and God will forgive your sins. Many people from the province of Judea and the city of Jerusalem went out to hear John. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He announced to the people, the man who will come after me is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to bend down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hello, my name is Leslie Charlton and I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. It would be great to meet you, good to have a conversation with you. Give us a call, send us a message and we'll get back and we'll have a chat. It doesn't have to be anything earth-shattering, just about life. The text that I'm preaching from on this first Sunday in Advent is Isaiah 40 verses 1 to 11 and then Mark chapter 1. Verses 1 to 8. In 1952, Private Evans was on her way home from her first military assignment when she refused to move to the back of the bus. Upon refusing, she was taken to jail and she was detained for 13 hours. Evans sued the Interstate Commerce Commission for discrimination. And despite a judicial victory in November 1955, the ruling was not enforced till 1961. Meanwhile, in March of 1955, a young black teenager, Claudette Colvin, refused to give up her seat on a bus to a white person. She had been exposed to the truths of the Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman, and Colvin was brave enough to resist the injustice that she experienced on that city bus. And as a result, she was handcuffed and arrested. And like Evans, her story has been hidden until recent years. But Rosa Parks, Everybody knows about her. On Martin Luther King and the bus boycott, we've all heard about that. That non-violent protest. But people went before. Other unknown people prepared a way. For Private Evans, there is a statue that she lived long enough to see. But for most people, they do what they do because it is a right contribution to society, and often nobody knows who they are. Doing what you do because the spirit nudges you to do it. Doing what you believe to be right just because it is right. But preparing a way for something to happen. And let's remember that some of the things that have prepared a way could easily look like failure rather than success. But that failure is preparation for success that will come. Arrested, detained for 13 hours in jail could well look like failure, but actually it was part of setting of a tone for a big thing that would come. And John the Baptist's life certainly did not look like a roaring success. Strange clothes, in the desert, arrested, executed on a whim, loser. Nor did the life of the nation of Israel look like it was going really well, when the brightest and the best were taken off into exile, and the time of the exile. But from that nation, a boy was born. And when that boy became a man, he acknowledged that John was the one who went before. In the Psalms, there are songs which celebrate the city of Jerusalem. They celebrate that city as being a place where God lives. And the city will be safe because God is there. And that proved to be nonsense. The city was destroyed. And God was in the city, but God was in other places too. And the people had to work out a new way to worship God when the temple was destroyed. And that's when synagogues developed. This COVID season will also help Kingston United Reformed Church to develop new ways of being church. And I'm fairly sure that going into the future, we will need to have live streaming of worship so that people can join us from their homes wherever they are. Many scholars believe that the book of Isaiah is the work of two prophets, one before the exile and one after. And here we have the start of 2nd Isaiah. It's the word to those returning from exile. You have done wrong. You have been punished. Now your punishment is coming to an end and you will be comforted. That's the message of this text. As an aside, it's interesting that the actual destruction of the temple, of Jerusalem, isn't mentioned in Isaiah, unlike it's mentioned in 2 Kings. Is it just too terrible to mention? Or is it that everybody knew about it? The assumption that the reader, the hero, would know the story. It's a bit like the lack of mention of key points of the life of Jesus by Paul in the New Testament. Assuming there's no need to tell the story because everybody knows it. There has been a long, dark night of judgment, and now the people will be comforted. Have we been going through a time of judgment in this pandemic? I'm sure that some would say we have. It certainly has highlighted sin in our society. People's lack of knowledge of the hard battles of other people's lives, their housing situation, their lack of outside space. Why are you in the park? You should stay in your garden. What garden is that? The one that you look out from your dining room into, obviously. Ridiculous. People in employment, yet still living in shared houses and in shared rooms. The imbalance is sinful and needs a foundational reset. There are those who would say that the cause of the virus itself is the result of our poor treatment of animals. That's also sinful. But I would say this link has been too quickly made and needs more time. It is, though, true that there will be lessons to be learned, and we would be foolish to waste them. People are lamenting, people are sad, people are overwhelmed at this time. For me, it comes in waves, and that's me living in my big tied house with a garden and a dining room and a study. Life is tough. Life was never meant to be easy. We believe that the time we have on earth is for us to be living and building according to God's will and following the example of Jesus. So the question is, what will be the legacy that we have from this COVID time? What will we hand on to future generations from it? Can we be humble enough to do what we do, believing it is right, regardless of whether we see the fruition of it or not? To see ourselves as person number two or three in a relay race. Not starting it. Woo, you're so marvellous. Not finishing it, bringing the baton home, but just being in the middle. Taking the baton from one place to another. Not dropping it. Faithfully building on the leg of the person before us and handing it on to the person who will come after. And remembering that we are building on what people have done in the past for us. I know that many of us in Kingston at Reformed Church are childless or child-free, but that doesn't mean that we are absolved of the responsibility of mentoring and investing in the future for others. Many people would talk about the importance of a person who is apparently on the edges of their lives, but who actually, for them, had a great influence. And one of the ideas that's come out of the work that the elders have been doing recently is to wonder about forming some sort of cross-generational groups. More than that. Do you remember in February, all that time ago, in February, where we were all about limiting plastic bags and worrying about the plastic that was on the floor of the ocean? And now we have gloves and masks all over our gutters, and single-use plastic is our new best friend. Not so. What was true then is true now. We need to be working for things for the long term. We need to be allowing things to grow that are right. The time in the exile was transformational for the people of Israel. This time could be that for us. Do we go back to how it was? Unthinkingly trying to bounce back to what went on before? Or do we pause? Reflect. Look at the foundations of what we did and wonder why. And then move forward and assume that God will be with us in all of it. Amen.
I'll tell you what, one of the things I'm looking forward to getting beyond is the listening to myself preach. That is, come on, that is one odd thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, a bit of heckling from the back. What I thought we would do for our prayers of intercession, you may remember that for the 24 hours I asked you to send me things that you would ask us to pray for. So I have a range of people's contributions, and I thought we would use those for our prayers today. And then, of course, I will allow some silence and some time for you to pray that which is on your heart too. So let us join to pray. Let us pray. to pray for an end to the coronavirus pandemic across the world. For the bereaved and the sick and the dying. And for those who are depressed and lonely. For those whose jobs and private life put them at risk. For the success of the vaccine, and pray that everyone will have access to it, that poorer countries will have access to the COVID vaccinations, and that access in this country will be decided fairly. For those for whom the joy of Christmas will be more of a memory than a reality this year, and a prayer of gratitude for all those whose lives have been touched only lightly by the pandemic. May we show our gratitude through our support of others less fortunate than ourselves. To pray for those who have worked during this time, and those who are sick spiritually, emotionally, and physically. To pray for those who find it hard to ask for help. The Legatum Institute, chaired by the Conservative peer Philippa Stroud, reported on Tuesday's Guardian that a further 700,000 people, including 120,000 children, have been plunged into poverty as a result of the COVID economic crisis. This means that more than 15 million people, 23% of the population, now live in poverty. Philippa Stroud said that the findings show a clear need for a comprehensive anti-poverty strategy to be placed at the heart of the UK government's COVID recovery response. Let's pray that no one will argue for a return to the old normal, and that those who are better off will argue for a levelling up, including higher taxes for those of us who are better off. Pray that those who are homeless would have a warm place to stay. There would be effort put in to find permanent housing. Pray for those who don't have a proper place to sleep and no hot meal to eat. Pray for those who are anxious about their partners. Those who are anxious about their health. One young person in the life of the church is going off to an interview in Oxford this week. Pray that he would present himself well. That he would get his place, and pray that this experience would lead to a step in his own relationship with Jesus Christ. Pray that Joe Biden would take over peacefully, that there would not be violence from the opposition. And Brexit. Remember Brexit. Lord, for justice we pray. For those who are trying to move house at this season. Thank you that Sue Shaw has found a new place to go, and we pray that you, Lord our God, would give her your peace as she makes this transition. We pray that once people get the vaccine, they would return to their previous joy and optimism in the view of life. And we pray for those who are lonely and isolated. Be with those who are dying, that they won't suffer and will enter into your kingdom. And a prayer that our church people would stay united. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayer. We pray for the leaders of the churches around the world, and on this day we particularly pray, we've been asked to pray for the leaders of the churches in South Korea. That they would be able to present the gospel in ways as there are changes and challenges with the government. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. Lord, may we know you with us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as usual, the notices are more like War and Peace than anything else, and I will send them to you. I will email them to you. And it all started off looking very neatly, but there's some graffiti. Anyway, a big thanks to all those of you who led sessions for the 24 hours of prayer from Friday into Saturday. And behalf of those who came in and those who popped in, we are grateful. So thank you. Thank you very much. Some of the themes were about light and darkness, about the importance of darkness. I hadn't thought of that. But if you were a person living in a hot country, then darkness would be a really, really great relief. So anyway, that was a theme about the difference between Christian hope and wishing. In normal language, we think of them as the same, but actually they're not. So we had some great input. Fabulous, and we're very grateful to those who shared with us. And if you were there and you've got any thoughts and reflections, we would love to hear what you heard. Next Sunday will be our gift service. It's our normal practice that the gift service, the loose cash goes to cystic fibrosis. Well, clearly, brothers and sisters, we haven't got a thing called loose cash anymore. So the CF will wonder about later. Usually we give gifts to WellCare. People arrive with bags full of toys and gifts for the mothers. This year we are going to give cash to WellCare, and I will show you how to. I'll send you the link for through Virgin Money to give to WellCare. Details will be circulated later. The dress code next Sunday morning. Two dress codes for next Sunday morning. Now, you can only see this bit. So, yes, you could wear a costume. You could. Do not let me hold you back. No, Bethany, get rid of the Christmas elf. You could wear a costume. However, all we actually need is this bit. So get your tea towels and your tinsel ready. Masks, of course, that's not COVID masks. That's get your donkeys out. That's great. Come. While we're on the subject of dressing up, Saturday at 3 o'clock, we will have the party. Come, and in advance, we need a picture of you that is taken from a slightly obscure angle. Send that to Hansol. And when you come, bring some food, not to share. That's great. And then we need to bring a newspaper or some scrap paper, sellotape, and a pair of scissors. Sparkly tops, flashy ties, get your groovy socks on, the whole nine yards. Come, party. Pardon? We can see your socks if you do this. Sorry, there's a sock debate going on in our house, whether you can see a sock or not. That's the answer. Depends how agile you are. Anyway, enough. Although this week the regular soiree on Thursday will happen, there's also an invitation to the Mayor's charity quiz. If you'd like to be part of that, it costs £15, money to Kingston Church's Centre for Independent, no, Kingston's Centre for Independent Living, KCIL, and also for Oxygen. For the podcast, please send me news. It can just be a wee short couple of sentences of the things that you have done during this season. It does not have to be big earth-shattering stuff. It just has to be, I started picking daisies and it's really been helpful. Let me know. And you don't have to record it, just write it and I'll record it. Of course, it would be better if you recorded it, but you don't have to. Have you had a look at the website? Have you looked at the advent calendar? It's great. Come and have a look at it. Fabulous. I don't know whether you've had a look, checked the chat, but Alistair Borthwick sends thanks to all of us because we sent him flowers for his special birthday. Coffee service reopens tomorrow. Currently, we're just going to be doing that on Mondays. The other thing that happens over the season is we give gifts. If you would be up for helping us deliver gifts, would you please let us know? Otherwise, Carol isn't going to be able to have a Christmas dinner because there won't be any room in our house. And we're going to do it in the sense of you walk up to somebody's house, ding dong, you leave the gift, you plastic bag, COVID secure way, you say, Merry Christmas, how are you, blah, blah, short chat, and then you clear off. That's what we're asking for. So I'd like you all to think of this, except for Martin Verge, because that would be a bit of a schlep coming in from South Korea. He's exempt, but and I understand that others of you have got other stuff going on. Today we will have worship in the building, 5 o'clock, come, wear your mask, it'll be good to see you, come and sign some songs. People news. Nigel is still in hospital, Nigel Tunley is still in hospital waiting for surgery. He's got an infection that needs to be cleared up before he can move for his heart up. And the expectation, as I hear it, is he'll be moving to Harefield. So can you pray for Nigel, please? And can you also pray for Olive Springham, who is close to moving? She's moving to Norfolk, and God bless her in her moving. Oh, the graffiti on my beautiful notices says, don't forget, on the 25th of December at 5 o'clock, Carol's... 25th. Yeah, 25th of December. That's what the church needs. No, 21st of December, Carol singing for Christian Aid. And I will now dedicate our offerings, and then we will move towards our Holy Communion. So let us pray. O God, our Maker, we bring our gifts to you from whom all blessings flow. Help us to give our gifts and to bring our lives. And use us for your glory and the well-being of your people. Through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Gathered round the table is where Jesus often met people. The table of Matthew, the table of Zacchaeus, the table of Simon. The table of Peter, the table of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. The tables of Joanna and Susanna. We are at his table. He would see people face to face and listen to their stories and share their laughter. It is Jesus who has promised to be with those who want to meet him. We are the church throughout the world, Orthodox and Lutheran, Catholic and Reformed, with all those who love Jesus and honour his name. So let us hear the story of this day. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We take this bread and we take this cup, and as he gave thanks, so we give thanks. Let us pray. It is right to praise you, for you are the one who came, and you are the one who will return. You conceived the universe and wove the world together, and you hold all life in your hand. You watch us, waking or sleeping. You keep every tear that we shed and hear every prayer that we make. You know both our best and our worst, and you will not let us go. So with rain and wind and sunshine, with all that moves in time with its maker, we praise you. With angels and archangels, with the saints from long ago, with our loved ones who are gathered round your heavenly table, we will praise you. With all your people and everywhere, we will sing the eternal song, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who was born among us incognito, who grew up without privilege or status, who walked the way to heaven through the back streets of this world, who told the deepest truths in ordinary language, who touched, healed, blessed, disturbed. Who is present with us here and now. God beyond holiness, as we do what Jesus once did, let your spirit move among us to settle on this bread and this wine, that they may become for us the body and blood of Christ. And let that same spirit stir our souls so that we share this sacrament, may recognize our Lord and receive him, that he may be in us and we in him forever. So among friends and gathered at table, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." At the table, with his friends, "This is my blood shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. God of tenderness and comfort, you speak words of peace that calm the storms of life, ease our troubles and heal our wounds. Help us proclaim your good news. Make straight your ways and feed your people, that your glory will be revealed even in us. Thanks be to God. Amen. So continuing our theme of getting a bit ahead of yourself with your singing, we join together to sing the first Noel.
Is the king of Israel.
So stay if you've got time for a conversation in the chat room. And if you need anything, let us know. And now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in knowledge and the love of God, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us, those who we love, wherever they are. Thanks be to God. Amen.